Thank you very much. It's a privilege to stand here, and I want you to know I have respect for this position on a Wednesday night. I would be wearing a necktie, but I wore one last night to a business dinner, and I ended up with a really nasty rash around my incision. And I decided tonight I wasn't going to do that, and with the permission from one elder, that's that. I've been reading in Scripture more this year than I have in the previous 41 years of my life. I took on a plan that came from an app on my Bible, on my cell phone, that started me in Genesis and then Matthew and then went to Exodus and Mark and so on. So I'm only on the first 12 books, but I'm on the 12th book and are finishing it now, actually. And that's how it's gone. So I've read creation and then the whole life of Christ. And then you read about Moses and the Ten Commandments and, you know, Mark's the life of Christ, you know, his birth through death. And I really have noticed different things about my Lord. I've been saved since I was really young. I've attended this church my whole life. But the Lord's revealed himself to me in a very different way. And that's kind of what was on my heart to share with you tonight. Folks, we've got it made, but that's our reason to live faithfully. We've got it made. Well, you'll understand why. You know how titles aren't always exactly what they appear to be on the front of the book. I really enjoyed Easter. God is, he's love, and he gave himself for us, and he was so humble. Well, tonight we're going to study more about God, and it's not that side of God that we're going to look at. Reasons to live faithfully. Deuteronomy 7:21 says, "Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible." Deuteronomy 10:17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." So God doesn't really care who you are. He made you. Every one of you were born the same way. He's not going to take any bribes. He's God. Most people, when they have a message, they give a really neat story. And then they use that to relate to something in Scripture or to your life. I don't have time for that, so I'm only going to tell stories tonight. Don't get too scared, because I have four stories to tell, and they're all from Scripture. I'm using Scripture as my concrete examples. These stories will hopefully make a point. The reason you're going to see me read from Scripture is because I can tell these stories, and each story will take 15 minutes. So I'm going to read the stories to you, and we'll try to move right along. Story number one, you'll see over here on the top side, I have a what and a why and an outcome on these four stories. Genesis 6:7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Genesis 6:13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Genesis 6:17, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein the breath of life from under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die." That's what happened. Now we're going to talk about why. What types of things would cause God to react this way? Genesis 6:5-6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." This is the same God who gave his son Jesus Christ to die for us. The same God that we celebrated his resurrection on Easter. That's the why. the promise afterwards on story number one is Genesis 9:15, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall be no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. Story number one was obviously God destroying the earth in the flood, the story of Noah. I'm going to turn around and read this because I have a neck problem and I'm reading tonight and I didn't want to be doing this. So I hope y'all can forgive me for that. Let's move on to story number two. The what? Genesis 13:10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. In Genesis 19:13-14, we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. Why did this happen? Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? It's summed up in Genesis 13:13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That's why. And afterwards, Genesis 19:29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Story number three. Exodus 11:4-5. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that's behind the mill, and all of the firstborn of beasts. This is the what. Why? Exodus 11:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. God was delivering his people. Afterwards, Exodus 12:13, And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I shall see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And verse 23, For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. If you notice, God is delivering his people in all of these stories. He delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah because Lot was a righteous man. He delivered Noah and his family because Noah was a man out of all that followed God. He delivered his people out of bondage. One more story, Numbers 16:20-21. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I might consume them in a moment. We studied this story a little bit in when the tabernacle was set up, the model of the tabernacle was set up in the gym. And that's the what. God was going to consume them. The why, there were 250 men rose up against Moses and Aaron. Verses 2 and 3 of Numbers 16. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and they said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And Numbers 16:21, God said, I may consume them in a moment. You know, Moses let God decide what needed to be done about this situation. And I am running very low on time. What happened was God judged this people rightly. He told everyone to get back, and he opened up the earth, and it swallowed all the people of the sons of Kor. All the people, all their tents, all the stuff that pertained to them, swallowed it up into a great sinkhole. And then fire came down from heaven and burned the 250 men who were standing there, who had basically rose up against Moses and Aaron. That is the what. And afterwards, did these people have a healthy fear of the Lord? Numbers 16:34, and all Israel that were round about them fled out and cried of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. They were afraid right then. But the story continues, Numbers 16:49. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the manor of Korah. How did 14,000 and some die outside this matter in Korah? What plague? Numbers 16:41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And 16:44 and 45, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And what happened is Aaron went out and got his censer and put fire and incense on it. And he went and stood between the people who had already died in this plague and the people who had not died yet. And the plague was stayed. And God listened and he stopped. All of these stories, like I said, God was taking care of his people. When you turn against God, you have nothing. He's not a respecter of persons or of people or anything that you can do or offer him. Afterwards, there was a healthy fear of God, and these are examples where the people were so afraid they would die, they wanted Moses to speak to him, to the people, because they were afraid if God talked to them, they would die. The great takeaway from this, I'm going to take from Deuteronomy 10. In verses 12 and 13, it says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day for thy good. So we know about the commandments. And we're now learning about the fear of the Lord. I want to read, I'm going to miss it. Right here. It's saying here at verse 16, to circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God and a mighty and terrible God, which regardeth not persons, nor take reward. We serve an awesome God, and he's so big that we can't even understand how big he is. When we see the story of Jesus Christ and him giving himself for us, that's a part of the Almighty God that we serve and that we owe our life to. The Ten Commandments, it said to serve the Lord and to serve what he's commanded. The Ten Commandments are found in Exodus. The Ten Commandments are found in Deuteronomy. And you might say, Mr. Scott, that's Old Testament. Because I hear that from a lot of people who like to argue Scripture. They're like, that's Old Testament. We don't have to do that. Okay? Well, tonight, we're going to serve the Lord following the New Testament commandments. Matthew 19, verse 18. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Mark 10:19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Luke 18, Romans 13, James 2, and there's others. And there's many other areas that say the Ten Commandments and the commandments of God to follow them. So it's not the Old Testament. The Old Testament law was to sacrifice. The New Testament that's changed for us is the bread and the wine to remember Christ. We do have a mighty and terrible God. These two verses show that. But we also have the goodness and severity of God. Deuteronomy 10:10 through 11. God did not destroy the people and gave them the promised land. I summed that verse up. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail. Severity, but towards thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. I just wanted to challenge you tonight. My title was, We've Got It Made. I want to challenge you tonight to live as though we don't have it made. Live as though you want to serve this almighty, all-powerful God that deserves all that we can do. You don't live your life like it's all been forgiven. That's a fact. He forgave us everything. But we should live our lives to follow what He desires. He's the same God today, tomorrow, yesterday, and forever. These things still repenteth His heart when we fail, when we don't do them, when we live our life with such liberty that we disregard, when we exaggerate, when we do whatever. And it grieved my heart to read about myself in Scripture. And I just wanted to share that with you tonight. I hope that it's beneficial to you. And I'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for what You've showed me in Your Word and for how You've come close to me. And Lord, You've shown me the sin in my life, Lord. And I just pray for this assembly here that we might search the Scriptures and find how we can serve You better, Lord, and find how to rightly divide the truth and how to live our lives to please You, and how we can serve You and worship You and show Your glory by our lives, Lord. And we just pray that we won't hinder the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that we won't grieve You with our actions, and that we might teach our children Your ways, Lord, and that we'll live our lives until Your return that is pleasing to You and not worthy of You just utterly destroying us as we've seen You do in the past, Lord. And we just thank You for Your Word and how You speak to us, and we just pray that You will continually put Yourself before us this week, that we don't forget You so quickly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.